And we started last Sunday, and we're going to continue next week. But I will tell you that if you go online, elevationindy.com, you can click on the media tab and listen. But definitely excited about what God's doing. And as Anthony mentioned, you have in your hand now an Easter invite card. Don't let this roll by and miss the opportunity to invite someone that God has placed in your sphere of influence, that they need life change, they need Jesus, and you are, the Word of God says we're epistles. The Apostle Paul said we're epistles read of all men. We're letters. For some people, you'll be the only Bible they've ever got to witness or see. And so don't miss the opportunity to just simply invite somebody to be with you. Don't make it weird. Don't scare them. Just say, hey, come hang out with us at Easter and we'll go eat, did you guys ever eat those deviled eggs? I don't know why they call them that, because they're really good. You know, it may be a trick, but whatever you do, lunch, whatever, but I would encourage you to take advantage. As I was preparing this week and thinking about it, and we're going to be in Mark chapter 2. We'll be finishing out that chapter this morning. But as I was thinking about and preparing, I thought about, the things that I believe, and the list goes on and on, because, if I ask you, tell me about your family, tell me what's, unique, important, describe your family to me. There's things that you would tell me that I wouldn't know about. And there's things that it probably wouldn't be one thing, right? They keep on dropping that beat, and I'm getting ready to do something. It's me doing that, isn't it, guys? Okay, let me just check something here. I'm going to have to stand still like this, it sounds like. But if I, this. Here we go. I know it's not fun to sit out there and hear a bunch of wah, 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 right? And so you would describe your family, and you would say that maybe your family is loud, or your family loves to eat, or your family is distant and far removed. But you could describe your family, or if we talked about the things that, what do you do when you get together? You could tell me, oh, we do it at ABC. And I thought about Elevation, and, when we say my church is kind of a big deal, what are we talking about? One of the things that I will tell you that I believe and that I think is important and crucial and describes us is that we're a growing church. We're a growing church. And I'll be honest with you that many people in the American church can't handle the idea of a growing church. That's why most of the churches, when I say most, overwhelming majority of churches in America are not growing. That's a sad thing to say, but it certainly is the truth. And because here's the thing about growth. Growth means change. Everybody say change. Yeah, it means change. And growth is a good thing, and change is a good thing, but sometimes change makes us uncomfortable. And one of the things we do here is, because we believe that we need to be a growing church, we connect and celebrate with the idea that we are growing. Amen? There's other places, that you could go where when you talk about growth and change, people back up into their hole like a frightened groundhog, ready to see its shadow. And for us, we embrace that. How many love it that we're a growing church? Say yes. Another thing that I think about when I think about Elevation Church is that we are a church that we believe that people need to experience transformation. That it's a important part of your life, no matter where you come from. And we're thankful for the many diverse backgrounds of people that come here. But no matter where you come from, we believe that there comes a time in your life when, whether you're at the very bottom or whether one day you just realize, wow, this is not working for me, whatever it is, that you experience transformation. And that means this. That you can look at your life and say this, that was then, this is now. I once was, but because of Jesus, I now am. That there's change that's occurred in my life, not change that I worked up and made happen, but change because I had an encounter with the risen, we're going to celebrate it in 2 weeks, with a risen Christ. And he changed and transformed my life. And then a third thing that I believe that, when I think about Elevation Church, that I believe, and we talk about it a lot. You just heard Anthony say he's a part of our Next Steps team, is that we want to be and desire to be a church of next steps. That we know that every single person has a next step to make to move closer in relationship with Jesus. Not to become more religious, not to know a few more things, but so that you can take that next step in having a more current and authentic and genuine relationship with Jesus. And wow, we do it through a lot of things. Our life groups, we're thankful for the many life groups we have and people connect, because we know that sometimes you're at a place where you just need to develop some good relationships. Relationships are elevators. They either take you up or they'll take you down. Get some relationships in your life that are going to take you up and get the ones out that are going to take you down. And so that you also can make a next step and become a part of a community. You need a community of people to support and be with you. And for some, it's connecting with the purpose of your life. That's all we have, next steps. And we move people onto our dream team. Because we know there's a purpose for your life, and we want you to help you discover that and that you will practice it. And we know, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, my life and God are just not connected. And I would just tell you that in a few moments, we'll give you an opportunity, because we know for some people, that's your next step. You've been doing this thing all alone. At least it seems like it's all alone. God's aware of where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. And the next step for you is to say, Jesus, come into my life, and I want the hope that you offer. I want the plan that you have for me. I want your design. Another thing that it comes to mind for me is that we're a generational church. You say, but yeah, you seem so, you know, your music seems young. Well, you know what? Here's what I know. When I talk about generational, it's the idea that we realize that there's a whole generation walking away from the church, and we're going to go after them. And sometimes we set preference aside and say, let's do everything we can so that the church continues and it doesn't end on our watch. I don't have time to get into the numbers of churches that are closing, congregations that are struggling, the denominations that are reporting no one in an entire year has come to Christ in their denomination. We can go on and on about the problems. I want to say, let's go after this generation and be relevant to reach them. But also, and the last one I'll talk about here this morning is that we don't have to sacrifice a spiritual emphasis. We don't have to sacrifice, and believe me, one of the things that over and over we're going to talk about it unashamedly, is that we're a church that embraces spiritual intimacy with God. Two places in this world where I believe that intimacy occurs: in a marriage relationship, a man and woman, and it occurs with you and God. And I want to tell you that God desires to have a relationship with you in which he knows you, not the layers, not the surface, that he knows you, that you've made yourself available and open to him and transparent, and that you desire to know him and to walk in fellowship together. And that's why, let me tell you something, you need his agent that he's placed on this planet to be activated in your life. You need to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in your life. Shout amen if you believe that. Amen. And when I say that, let me tell you something. There's no weird connotation around that. It's just because, let me tell you something, people have backed up away from the idea of knowing and having the Holy Spirit work in their life because they thought it was weird. Get past that and just say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me, guide me by your Holy Spirit, because I hunger and thirst for that. And that's what I'm talking about today. I want to talk about hunger this morning. Everybody say hunger. Hunger. Yeah, and when you leave here, you're gonna want to get something to eat, no doubt. But I'm gonna talk about hunger, and I thought I might get thirsty. That's why I got so many bottles of water, I guess. So, Mark chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Now it happened that he, speaking of Jesus, went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. Verse 24, and the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and also gave and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. This passage, as I was praying and seeking God and studying, and you know, there's a lot that we could talk about in these few verses that we mentioned here. I'm going to target hunger this morning, but before we do, I just want to make sure you kind of get the picture of what's happening. I suppose that the Pharisees could have been these religious leaders and scholars, righteous men, could have been hanging out by a grain field. You know, let's come down to Indiana where we understand it. They're hanging out by a cornfield on the Sabbath. You get what I'm saying? Because when you read this, it's a setup. There's several controversies that go on in the first portion of the book of Mark, and this is, I think, maybe number 5 out of the, I think, 6 controversies where the Pharisees are trying to trip Jesus up. And so it looks like a setup to me, because I can kind of picture, if this is the cornfield, that they're hanging out beside, watching. Here comes these 13 men. Can you imagine trouncing through the cornfield? And as they're walking, and it's not corn like we, but in this grain field, and they're picking the ears off, and they're eating them as they're moving through. And then I can see in my mind, here's the Pharisees. Hey! Kind of cupping their hands together, yelling out at the guys as they come through the cornfield. You know, what makes you think that on the Sabbath you can do you can break the law and eat this stuff? What makes you think that it's all right for you to do that? And so Jesus, and good point, because, you know, if you read in Deuteronomy 23, it talks about the Sabbath. And Sabbath breaking, if it was intentional, and there is some severe punishment that could be connected and penalty with that. And so they're making, you know, they're the prosecuting attorney, and they're yelling out these things. And I like what Jesus says, because Jesus is so, just wisdom embodied. I don't think Jesus is praying for wisdom. He's just got wisdom, right? And Jesus says, have you never read? Now, for us, if he said that to us, we're like, oh, what? But when you say it to these guys, I mean, you know, if I can look at the people and the interaction that's going on and kind of get a picture of this, because these are guys that were prideful and proud of the idea that they knew the word, that they had studied the word, and they knew the law, and they knew when you broke it. And so they had a little, they wanted to make sure everybody knew that they were skilled, and they were they could speak with authority, because they knew the word. They knew the law, I would say. And so Jesus makes this statement to them. And this is Tony, this is not Jesus, but, you know, like, hey, you jokers, have you not read what the Bible says? I know you're learned and you're proud about what you know, but have you not read what happened in 1 Samuel? And he kind of puts them, kind of knocks them back for a moment, because he caught them in a place where, what's going on? We weren't expecting that that to be said. And so you see that, and then you can't read this without talking about the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is a part of this passage here. And I'll say this before we jump into our hunger talk this morning. The Sabbath is important for you, and Jesus deals with it like this. Don't you know that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath? You need rest. Check it out. Here's God's idea. He created you, and he looks at you and says, okay, I know what you need to do. You need to have 6 days where you spend working and toiling, but you need a day of rest. You need a day of worship. You need a time when you step aside and you refresh and you renew. And so some people, you got both extremes. You got some people who will never, ever want to do that. And what you'll do is you'll run yourself so hard and you'll become so worn out and burn out that eventually you will take a rest, but it may not be the kind of rest that you could have taken all along. It may be a permanent, okay? And here's the other thing, that if you never renew and never refresh, what will happen to you spiritually is you will die. You need that time. And then you got people on the other extreme that they get so legal about when and how long and all this stuff. Let me help you. That God set this in motion. He created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Through the Old Testament, we get the pattern. You need to take some time every week. And for most, our calendar, in America, we set our calendar so that both Jews and Christians can have a time set aside so that they can have rest and worship. That you need to take the time to do that. When you turn off stuff, unplug, focus on God, focus on just taking a breath and getting refocused for your next week. I'll say that much, okay? And then we're going to talk about hunger, because hunger's a important part of our life. And as I was preparing this week, I thought, okay, you know, there's certain sources I go to and commentaries and study books that I read, and I'm thinking, okay, let's see what everybody else, because I felt like the Lord spoke to me, I need to talk about hunger out of this passage, and I could not find, and you know, I'm not saying it was an inexhaustible search, but I could not find anyone that really wanted to deal with the idea of hunger, but it looks very prevalent to me in this passage. And so I'm gonna talk to you for a few moments this morning. He says, have you read, don't you remember when David, to him and his men, they went into the tabernacle and they went to the table of showbread. The table of showbread is a table that was made out of wood. It was covered in gold, in pure gold, and measured about 3 feet by about a foot and a half, 2 feet, 3 inches high. And on it was placed 12 loaves of bread that the priest had baked. And those 12 loaves of bread would sit there all week. And the priest, at the end of the week, then they would eat those loaves of bread, and then fresh ones were baked and placed on there. Only the priest could eat these, because these loaves of bread were holy. And so not just anyone could eat them. But David, Jesus is referring, because Jesus is talking about, so if you see him talking to this prosecuting group of Pharisees, he's telling them, okay, there's a precedent that's been set already. When David, because of his hunger, because of his men's hunger, because of the need, they went in to the tabernacle and they ate the loaves of bread that were on the table. And the table of showbread is also, could be the different terms, a table of presence, or this showbread is also called face bread, because it was this that God was inviting. It was a picture of God inviting you to come to the table. And that idea, when you share a meal, is about this idea of relationship and communion. And so it was him inviting. And the key thing that I take away is this thing about hunger, that hunger will drive you to do something that is extraordinary, that is beyond the norm, that breaks with protocol, that causes you, and this is one of those pictures. I kind of think when Jesus is walking through the field with his disciples, that there's a smile on Jesus' face. You know, we never get that. You know, in the pictures and in the movies, it's always the Jesus that's got a British accent. I don't know all about that, but you know what I'm talking about. And he's always so serious. Jesus was serious, but let me tell you something. If he's like all of us, and the Bible says that he was, that everything we've experienced, he experienced, there's times when he was laughing and he was smiling. And I get, to me, when he's walking through this field of grain, I can just see a smile on his face. And when these guys, these Pharisees begin to challenge and try this adversarial approach to him, I can almost see him with a smile on his face saying, have you never read what happened with David? And he's got a bunch of hungry disciples with him. And hunger will drive you on the Sabbath when you're walking through a grain field to pick off the ears of grain and eat them. It'll cause you, when your men are hungry, to go into a place that typically would not be the place that you'll go, but to eat because of the hunger. You see, every battle begins with hunger. Every victory, every championship, every win. Right, we're getting ready as in our nation to enter into the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and they call it the Big Dance, and there will be teams. I got the highlights of it was UConn and Cincinnati, University of Cincinnati, UC, the other night. They went into four overtimes. I don't know if anybody saw the shot. And then from about half court or so, the guy launches the ball, and it goes in. I think it looked like, I don't know if it hit the backboard or not. I'd like to imagine it was nothing but net. But it goes in, and they win, and they're jumping, and they're celebrating. The reason that they ended up winning that game is because they were hungry. There was something in them that drove them to say, we want a win. And so we'll fight it out like we'll throw everything on the floor. We're going to go after a win. And through the next 3 weeks probably, you'll see teams, and some little team that's a number, like a 13 seed, will win against the number 4 seed because there was a greater fight. They may look like the small dog, but there's a greater fight in those little small dogs sometimes than there is in the big dog. You understand what I'm saying? There's a hunger. Every battle begins with hunger, whether it's wealth, whether it's power, whether it's freedom. Through the history of our world, we see how that hunger pushed people to go for that. We're all hungry for something. And it's our hunger that drives us. It's the light that gets us through, and the whole point of why we fight, hunger. And right now, as I speak this morning, there's somebody here, in here, maybe many of you, maybe all of us, we're in a battle. Could be a battle for your marriage. Could be a battle for your finances. Could be a battle for your children. Could be a battle for your purity. Whatever that is, whatever it may be, there's a hunger that drives you. And now you're standing in the battle, and the battle is going on, and you got a choice. You're faced with a choice. Will I run? Will I stand? Will I fight? So you got to determine, what are you hungry for and what are you willing to eat? You know, when I think about being hungry, hunger is a sign of spiritual health. How many know that? If you got a little baby and it's not eating, how many know there's a worry there? Many times Pastor Richie, he'll sit down with me, he'll say, I am hungry today. And then he'll tell me, because over and over we laugh because we both say the same things to each other a lot of times. And he'll say, and the doctor, he always asks me about my appetite because it's good at my age that I have an appetite. And because it's a sign of physical health that you're hungry. And in the natural, people get concerned when, you know, if you tell your doctor, I don't have an appetite, I just don't ever want to eat. There's a concern. And we got to have the same alertness when it comes to our spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. When I was a kid, there were certain things that we would have. Anybody know how your mom always makes the best potato salad? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, there's certain things that, you know, a mom will make, and everybody's like, oh, my mom makes the best. And usually in the summertime, ever so often, there'd be potato salad, an event where there'd be potato salad. And I could, you know, that you boil the potatoes, right, first. Yeah, they're boiling potatoes in there. And they'd be boiling the potatoes, and, like, we'd, like, say, what are we, you know, what's going on? Oh, I'm getting ready to make potato salad. And so my brother and I, man, we would be, like, just on our, you know, just hyped up because we're going, because we'd had it before, and because we knew it was good, we wanted more. That's why the Bible says this: taste of the Lord and see that he's good. If you ever taste of him, if you ever get a taste of his presence, I want to tell you, it will change your appetite. You'll have an appetite for something that maybe you've never ever tasted before because of that appetite. It's like when I grew up, they would tell me to eat spinach. We had the canned spinach and the little Popeye. They would refer to Popeye, you know. Anybody remember Popeye? Yeah. Strong to the finish because he eats his spinach. He's Popeye the Sailor Man. And so they even bought, there was a Popeye brand of spinach. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. I don't know if they still make it or not. I don't know, you know, and maybe you like it, but I don't know why in the world everybody would, why anyone would ever put spinach in a can and then want to eat it. Because when I was a kid, that's the grossest thing. In fact, today, I can eat spinach. I like a lot of stuff. I can eat spinach, but I just don't like it because somewhere in here, the back corner back there, I remember sitting at the table with cold spinach because I didn't eat, because at my house, you had to eat whatever they gave you, you know? And so I'm sitting there like an hour later with cold spinach trying to stomach that thing down so I can get up. And so in my head, spinach always has that. So I never get an appetite to say, oh, I'd love to have some spinach. Are you with me? That's what your past should have did to you. That's what your unsaved, ungodly past should be to you. I never, ever want to taste that stuff again. Not some longing that, whoa, I hope one day I can enjoy that. No. When you taste of the Lord and see that he's good, I want to tell you, it'll give you an appetite that's entirely different. Hunger. When you live in an environment of blessing, like we do in America, you got to maintain, you need to maintain hunger. Because it's easy when you have abundance to not experience hunger. A few times in my life, maybe, and some of you, I know you've been in these places. I remember when I was a teenager, I went and detasseled corn. And they put us, I had a little sack lunch. We left like at dark, you know, five, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 in the morning. They took us out in these buses, this cornfield. And here we walked these cornfields all day, and it's about noon. I'm telling you, the corn that I was picking, the raw corn, seemed like it looked pretty good because I was so hungry. You ever been in that place where you go so long and you're hungry? It usually doesn't happen when you're sitting at home and you got plenty there. And spiritually, what can happen to you and I is that we can get into a place because of our abundance. Because you know, because you got 5 Bibles laying around your house. You know, like the video I watched a couple weeks ago, where these Chinese people were in a room and they got a big box and they opened it up and there were Bibles in it and they took them out and they were kissing the Bibles and they were cherishing and they were crying and they were dancing and they were so excited because they had a Bible. You see, we got 5 or 10 sitting in your house. They're gathering dust. You see, what can happen for you and I is we can get to a place because of abundance, we lose hunger. We can experience the Holy Spirit and the presence of God working in our world, in our church, and in our life. And if we're not careful, we can get so filled with the abundance that's around us that we lose the hunger that we need. You see, our challenge is to remain hungry while being full of the Spirit. Hunger is a sign of humility, of dependency. I mean, when you're hungry, it means you're dependent. You're not self-sufficient. You need something from the outside. You need an outside source of nutrition. I had them bring these bottles of water. I'm drinking this Nestle. It says Pure Life. If they didn't put Pure Life, you'd think it maybe had chocolate in it or something, right? Nestle. So, yeah. So Smart Water. I'm sure somewhere, it's got a word, it's probably a French word for glacier. Glaceau. And then Fiji water. And then below it says natural artesian water. Sounds like it's good, doesn't it? And then, I never had this before, Essentia. Hydration perfected. The alkalinity is 9.5 or higher. So if your pH is off, you can drink that, and it's going to help you get back to you know, the line you need to be. So let me help you. Grandparent. My great-grandfather, I'm named after him. He's Antonio. I've got the Tony thing. Dominic Cora. Now, if I would have said, hey, if he was here today and we could have a time machine or could go however we could get him here, and we said, hey, here's a bottle of water, that would seem like a strange thing, right? I would say grandparents, but some of them are here today, right? So in our world, so let's go back. That would seem like a strange thing. You got water and a bottle and you bought it. You know, we could have had Evian up here and do the mirror version where it says naive. You have water and a bottle and you pay for it. Because for them, I don't know, they probably didn't have tap water like we do today. They would go into a well and pull up a bucket of water and they would put it in. I remember when I was very young, they would have this, like a bowl, it was metal, tin, and a dipper. Anybody ever seen those? I'm predating a lot, many of you. And then you would go up there and everybody would drink out of the same dipper when they wanted to drink a water. You just hope the guy before you wasn't chewing tobacco or something when he... And so here's the thing. That generation had a desire for pure water. Right? They didn't want water that was unpure. But the thing is, we have that desire too. But the packaging of what we drink is different than what they drink. And for all of us this morning, what you need to understand is the innate desire, this intrinsic characteristic of hunger for God is built into your design. The problem is that you may not recognize what that is. And what happens is we try to fill it with all kinds of other stuff. We get those feel-good moments, or we do something to give us peace that isn't healthy for us, because God is the only one that can give you real, genuine, authentic peace. And so we try to find peace here, or we try to find rest in this, or we try to find encouragement here. And the problem is that God is the one that can give you those things. And so what we do is we act on appetites, we act on cravings. I mean, cravings don't always lead you to the right place. Sometimes I get a craving for something. I'm like, I really don't need that because that's not healthy. Now, as you change, because let me show you something. Here's the way it works. In the natural, the more you eat, the more filled you are. With God, the more you eat, the more hungry you get. And I want to tell you that if you eat a lot of bad things and things that you know that aren't good for you physically or spiritually, you'll find yourself still hungry. So you eat more and more of a bad thing, and then you don't get filled. When you go to God, what he does is he fills you. The Bible says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. That he fills you, and then a hunger increases because of what you've been eating. And so this morning, first point, hunger does this. Hunger releases a capacity to dream. Hunger releases a capacity in you to dream. When you get hungry for something, it'll cause you to dream about where you could be. I remember when I was real young, my grandfather, I remember sitting at his feet. He would sit there and he would tell me stories like history. He was knew a lot of history, it seemed like, and I would just get a hunger to know that stuff. It would cause me to see and desire something beyond what I knew. Second thing that hunger does, hunger causes people to move outside a place of safety. You see it in this passage. I mean, it's not a safe thing to be eating grain on the Sabbath, nor is it a safe thing to go into the tabernacle, but hunger pushed them to go beyond protocol. There's a show, I've caught it maybe once or twice, parts of it. It's Bear Grylls, I think's his name. And he's an English guy, Christian, by the way. And he was with some celebrity, and they're out in this mountain. And Bear Grylls is spirit-filled, by the way, as well. powerful guy. He had the president on his show, and he prayed for the president. I don't know if anybody got to see that. I thought, man, that's so amazing. And so he's out there with this celebrity, and they find a bird egg, a little bitty bird egg, and they find some worms. And they've been out there for like a day or so, up mountains, down. They need protein. He said, we need protein. We've got to eat. And he's a survivalist, you know. And so they get this rock, and they start a fire, and they put the egg on there. And, you know, maybe I could do the egg, I guess, if I'm out there. And then they put the worms on there, and they said, here, try them. And I'm like, oh, my. I would have to be just famished and starving to think that I would eat that stuff. Are you with me? I mean, it's like sushi. I mean, like, you know, you just have to be to a place where you couldn't. There's nothing else available. Yeah. But here's what happened. In that situation, the hunger that these two people had caused them to go outside of what, to me, I'm thinking parasites and I'm thinking germs, but caused them to go beyond safety. When you get a hunger for your marriage to be right and godly, and you get a hunger for your life to be pure and to live a holy life, when you get a hunger that you want to see your children raised and reared in a way that causes them to achieve the greatness that God has and the potential that he has for them, it'll cause you to go beyond the norm. You'll pursue and you'll press to experience God at a whole nother level than what you've ever experienced because of the hunger that is driving you. And there's a battle that you'll fight against because I want to tell you, the enemy of your soul does never want to see you enter into the place that God has for you. So there's a fight that will go on. But hunger will cause you to be victorious and go beyond the normal protocol that everyone else will follow. And thirdly, hunger is essential for the next season of your life. Hunger is essential for the next season of your life, for this church. I want to tell you, I spoke last week and referred to this, and again, you go online and listen to this, but spiritual growth is not an option. And every one of us will come to that grow or die moment. And I want to tell you that if you haven't, if you didn't know you were there yet, you're there. It's grow or die. And I want to tell you that if you could just grasp this, that hunger is what's going to take you to the next level spiritually. Hunger corporately for us as well take us to the next season, the next level as a church. Because right now you're in a battle. I said, you're in a battle. And it could be a battle, somebody here today, for your marriage. It could be for your children. It could be for finances. It could be for your health. It could be for your future. Could be for purity. Hunger is what started you on the journey. I'm in a season right now. As a pastor, I think I've got 5 or 6 weddings this year. A little more than probably a typical year. It's exciting. You sit down with a couple. I did a counseling session yesterday by Skype. First time I've ever done that. Skyping with these people doing they're getting married in June, and I told them what I'll tell you today. It's exciting. A couple starting down that road, the sun is shining, looks bright, the future. Every marriage, just about, that's the way it starts. Happens when the new baby's born. It's beautiful. Future, spiritual journey. You come, you give your life to Christ. Wow, grass is greener, sky's bluer. I told them what can happen is you can get so focused right here. But you lose sight of what's out before you. Awesome to plan for the wedding, but you got to get your focus on the marriage. It's also to celebrate the new birth. Awesome to celebrate the new birth, but you better get your parenting hat on because it's going to be 18 years going down this road, and you don't want to get so excited about, oh my, here we are, that you lose sight that you need some planning, because when that young lady or young man turned 16 or 17 or 18, if it was just here and it was a celebration and you never got the steps ordered to move through this thing, you may end up with a problem. Are you hearing me? Your spiritual walk, it's all exciting today. It's all exciting when you give your life to Christ. You get so focused right there that you forget that there's more to this. That's why the parable of the sower, when the sower, the planter went out and planted the seed, scattered it. Some of it fell on places where it didn't take root and didn't grow. Some of it got plucked up by the birds. But some of it took root. The ones that take root are those that apply this to their life today and tomorrow, and they get a vision about here. Same thing for a church. Church can get consumed with what's going on right here. Why is our church a big deal? Because we're looking out for the future. That's what I want for you. These Pharisees, they were all consumed about that moment in time. They were worried about, are these guys, what are they doing on the Sabbath? Jesus is like, okay, jokers, I'm here to go to the cross. I'm here to save mankind. You're not going to trip me up with your adversarial comments. We're moving on through this. You may not realize this, but hey, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of your life when you allow him to come in and call the shots. That's what he wants to do. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray, and I just want to encourage you today that the hunger that got you in this place today is the hunger that will have to lead your life. The hunger that caused you and moved you to have a desire to want to serve and have a relationship with God has got to lead your life. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed for a moment. I'm going to talk to you and pray with you. Just let me say this, that if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm living in abundance. I'm living in a place where I know that in my life things are good, and I'm praying and I'm in the Word and all these things, but I know I need more. I'm preaching to you this morning. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm in a place where I don't even know if I have a hunger for the things of God or for. And I'm telling you, as I said earlier, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I had that hunger at one point, but something happened. Maybe it was in a church, maybe it was by a quote-unquote religious person, and now you feel like you're hurt, you're wounded, it left a bad taste in your mouth, and the hunger for God and the things of God have disappeared from your life. I'm saying this, I'm sorry for that experience. Sorry that you got something that was toxic, but I'm telling you this, that God still has a plan for your life. He still desires, you can still meet with him at the table of presence and experience his presence in your life, and he'll feed you. He'll feed you things that'll cause you to be nourished and grow in ways that you've never experienced. And so I'm here this morning, heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you this question. If you're here, you say, by raising your hand, you're saying this, I'm one of those people. I need hunger. I want more hunger. Thank you for the hands that are already going up. Just shoot your hand up. Hungry people will move quick to do this. You want more of God. You need God. Your appetite needs. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And I know I've talked a long time, and I know we got another service coming, but for a few moments, they're going to come. Go ahead and come, guys. They're going to come, and I want us to take a moment and just go after God. And if you're here and you say, my relationship with Jesus is broken, I've drifted, or I don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you shoot your hand up, we'll pray. I'll pray for you this morning if you're in that situation. We're going to pray, and then as they lead us in this song, I want us just to go after God for a few moments. Father, I thank you today. God, I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you sent your Son. Lord, that we could experience you. Lord, that we wouldn't be off in some religious group that, Lord, just went through ritual and form with no function, but God, that you called us into relationship with you.
so that we could pursue knowing you, that we could pursue your presence, that we don't have to live in a life where we just know about you, but God. Heart would pant after the water brook, God. Our soul longs for you, oh God. And God, as we hunger for you, Lord, we know as we make you the priority of our life, God, marriages are healed. Lord, our children, God, are moved to a different life because of our leadership as we follow after you, God, that our finances begin to come in order when we pursue you, Lord. That purity, Lord, is just an outflow of the relationship we have when we pursue and have a hunger for you. So, God, we just say we're hungry. We're hungry. Can you just voice that this morning? We are hungry.